So we're going to do our manger scene investigation this Christmas season. It's always a bit of a challenge, fun challenge, but a bit of a challenge to decide every year how we're going to approach the same story. It's a wonderful story. It's part of what makes the Christmas season such a special time, because it's like an anchor in our year in many ways. This season of Christmas, and we come back and we remember the same story of how God came to us in Jesus Christ in that miracle of the incarnation, Christmas, God coming to earth. And year after year, we come back and we tell the same story and try to do it in different ways. This year, I'm using our manger scene. We have these beautiful figures that we'll have out throughout the season, and the beautiful manger scene, the traditional manger scene. Scholars will tell us that there are certain problems with our manger scene, like the wise men really didn't show up until later, and various things that folks will tell us that's a little bit out of kilter. But in many ways, I think it works very well to focus our attention, to take the whole Christmas story and to tell it in a symbolic sort of way. It's what we're going to do tonight with our tableau as we build that picture with live actors. And so we have these beautiful figures that do the same thing for us. And so I want us to look kind of one at a time at the different figures that appear in the manger scene, kind of starting from the outside in. We're going to start with angels today. We're going to ask, who's in our manger scene here in our church, here in Reno, as you look around with blow-up figures in people's yards and various figures for sale in the stores. Who is in our manger scenes? Why are they there? How is each one involved in the story of Christmas as we find it in God's Word, the Bible? What do they do? What are we told about what they do as part of that Christmas story? And then how do they encourage us to participate in our own Christmas stories today? Today we're going to look at, as you've seen, at the angel that appears in our manger scenes, most of them, many of them. They're sketchy facts about angels. They're real, but of a different sort of reality than what we normally deal with in day-to-day living. They're what are called incorporeal, which is a fancy word to say. They're non-material. They interact with us here in the physical realm, but they're not made out of the same kind of material that we're made out of. They're something different. Sometimes they have names. You have angels like Gabriel, whom we meet in the Christmas story and at other times in the Bible. And also the other named angel in the Bible is Michael, who is seen as sort of the leader of the hosts of heaven, kind of a warrior angel, sort of, a defender of God's people and purposes. A couple of other angels that are named and found in ancient Jewish traditional writings, Raphael and Uriel. We don't know as much about them. And of course, we don't want to forget about the named angel Clarence. You know about the angel Clarence, right? Who actually got his wings through his good work with Jimmy Stewart in It's a Wonderful Life. There are some misconceptions, I think, about angels. Maybe not misconceptions, but perhaps just sort of stereotypes about angels that really aren't all that true when we look carefully at the scriptures. They don't fly. Generally, they don't fly. I suppose they could, being incorporeal, that you can do what you want, I suppose, in the material world if God wants them to. They perhaps hover, although it doesn't even say that. The original working title for today's message was Angels Fly and Shepherds Run. And then I decided to kind of divide up angels and shepherds. And then I looked more carefully and realized, well, the angels don't actually fly anywhere. They just sort of show up. But that's even conveyed in some of our traditional hymns, like a couple that we sang today. Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. There are no flying angels in the Christmas story. They're angels. But they're not flying. And then in It Came Upon a Midnight Clear, second verse, still through the cloven skies they come with peaceful wings unfurled. Well, when you read the scripture, there's nothing about wings. There's no wings. probably this came from descriptions of the cherubim and seraphim that we have in other places in the Bible. We meet the cherubim early in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3, verse 24, where it talks about God putting the cherubim there with a sword to guard the tree of life in the Garden of Eden after Adam and Eve are cast out of the garden. They're represented in the way that God's people were instructed to make the Ark of the Covenant, the cherubim that are on top of the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant, this most holy of artifacts in the Old Testament. Probably this winged stuff comes also from heavenly visions, these apocalyptic visions that happened every once in a while. Daniel had this heavenly vision, and Isaiah had a heavenly vision that included winged creatures and winged seraphim, and etc. John the Apostle, in his revelation, this vision that he has, sees creatures, these astounding creatures in this vision, and they have wings. And probably this is one of the places where the idea that angels have wings come from. It really is a bit handy, though, for artists to depict angels with wings, because it's an easy way then to tell that they're not people, because people don't have wings on their back. But if you put a wing on an angel, then you can say, oh, that's an angel, because it has a wing. So it is kind of a handy way of depicting angels in art. And you'll notice that our angel, beautiful angel, has some nice wings there. So that's how we know that she's an angel and not just a well-dressed shepherd. But there's no mention of wings in any of the Christmas encounters with angels, with Zechariah or Mary or Joseph or the shepherds. Let's take a look at our scripture for today, which is this encounter between the angel and then the angels and the shepherds as Jesus was born. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 14, a very familiar text. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." Let's pray. Lord, I pray that the angels would speak to us once again today, that their announcement to the shepherds long ago on that most special of times would be their announcement for us today. And more than that, that it would be our announcement today as we live as your people here and now in Reno, Nevada in 2011. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we have angels in the manger scene. We've read at least one of the encounters. There are others that happen throughout the Christmas story, but we'll focus on this one. What do they do? What do angels do? And I want to say they do three things. And if you want to try a little mnemonic device, three A's. What do angels do? They appear, they announce, and they applaud. Appear, announce, applaud. Angels appear. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified, the shepherds. Scary thing when incorporeal spiritual beings suddenly show themselves in your midst. I dare say that would be our first reaction if an angel all of a sudden showed up here. Yeah, probably our first reaction would be it'd be scary. That's what tends to happen to people. The word appeared means literally stood upon them. There he was. And I think this idea of appearing, though it seems, yeah, sure, yeah, they showed up, they appeared, great, yeah, whatever. I think it's very significant. And I don't want us to overlook this part of what angels do. They appear. This is an important concept in Reno, Nevada. Billboards. All the time, all year long, now appearing. One way or another, right? Now appearing, Weird Al Yankovic. now appearing. Sting. TV ads. Yeah, there you go. All right. That, you like that one. Weird Al, not so much. Okay. All right. Now appearing. Three Dog Night. Three Dog Night. I mean, how many of you remember? One is the loneliest number that you... I mean, I was like in junior high when that song came out. Some of you weren't born. But, now appearing. Now appearing in person. Their only appearance in Northern Nevada. Appearing. You know, this is something you can do if you are a special person. I mean, we could put that sign out on our billboard in front of church every week. Now appearing, Danny Fierro. Now appearing, Pastor Jay Hall. You know, we could put that out there, but you know, people would say, yeah, whatever. I mean, duh, they're always there. Appearing is something you can do if you're a special person. If you're a famous person, if you're a famous entertainer, if you're a celebrity, somebody that people celebrate, a name that everybody knows, and you put their name on the billboard there, now appearing. But you can be special in other ways. Don't miss this, friends. You can be loved by others, and your appearing is thereby an amazingly important thing. Now appearing in Seattle, Washington, my first grandchild. And I didn't actually know I would be able to share this today, but now appearing right here in our own sanctuary, my son and my daughter-in-law, Peter and Hannah, make no mistake, their appearance here today is better than anything for me on any billboard anywhere in Reno. They can have Sting. They can have Weird Al. I've got Weird Peter. Okay, you get that though. Please, don't miss that. Don't be fooled. And they're appearing today with a third member of their family, and so my family, our second grandchild, don't know if it's a boy or a girl, on his or her way. Now appearing in Reno, Nevada. Yeah? Who? Now appearing at your house for Thanksgiving or for Christmas. Your son. Your daughter. Your mom. Your brother. Your best friend. Now appearing. Angels are special. They're not often seen or heard from. They show up at key moments in history. They show up in key moments in people's lives. They show up in key moments in God's unfolding plan for His world. They arrive with an important task from God to accomplish. Such is certainly the case in this famous encounter between the angels and the shepherds. The moment God Himself is being born on earth in a particular place at a particular time. The task? Announce it. And this is the second thing that angels do. Why they're in our manger scene, what they remind us of. They appear and they announce. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Announce. You know, that word is in the name angel. Angel, it means messenger. It's related to words like euangelion, where we get the word evangelical or evangelism. That's good message. Angelos sounds like angel. Message, EU, is a way of turning a word into something good. Put EU in front of a word in Greek and it means a good something. So we have words like euthanasia, which means good death, or eulogy, which means good word. you logos. So euangelion simply means good message, and it's built with that word angelos, which means angel. So by their name, they're announcers. That's what they do. They come announcing something, telling something for God. This particular message begins with, don't be afraid. Fear not. It's a good word for us today, friends. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in Jesus at Christmas. Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of people don't like that. I do. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When God shows up, people are afraid. When God's messengers show up, people are afraid. And that's a natural reaction. It's a good starting point. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. See, when we begin with the fear of the Lord, when we don't take God for granted, when we begin with a sense of fear, God is almighty. God holds my eternal destiny in his hands. God saves me or I am doomed forever. God is powerful beyond anything. People are afraid of the atom bomb. Nothing compared to the power of God. God oversees all power and all nature. God is forever. Always has been, always will be. God is the originator of everything. Power. Holiness. That really should scare us. Real holiness. Real purity. Unmixed. It's a sad thing that people take God for granted. Even say, he doesn't even exist. I exist apart from God. Foolishness. Because listen, if we begin with the fear of God, then God can speak his word to us and it can be effective in our minds and in our hearts and in our lives. God's word that the angels spoke and that God has spoken throughout the scriptures. You begin with the fear of me, now listen to me. Listen to me. Don't be afraid. And when God says don't be afraid, we don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. All your deepest reasons to be filled with fear, I declare them null and void. The alternative, ironically, is that when we ignore God, when we pretend that his power and holiness are no big deal, when we presume to be the kind of people who could stand face to face, toe to toe with the living God and belong there, hold our own, we will find ourselves hopelessly under the oppressive weight of all our fears, with no God to say effectively, fear not. You see how that works? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it is the beginning of the erasure, the disarming of all of our fears. Don't do that, and we're left at the mercy of all of our fears. The angel's message, good news, great joy for all the people. What is it? A special new birth. Where? In the city of David. And this is a loaded phrase. The city of David. It means that what is happening in continuity with and in fulfillment of the history of Israel. David was the great king of Israel, and David received an incredible promise, an amazing promise from God. And the promise was, David, I'm going to establish your throne forever, and your offspring is going to sit on that throne forever. In history, that promise was made to a real king of a real people. And of course, after that, for reasons of moral necessity, as we talked about when we were talking about the major prophets in weeks past, for reasons of moral necessity, that kingdom, which had gone bad, even though they had that promise, ceased to exist in any worldly sense. Ah, but the promise was not forgotten. An offspring of David, a real person living in continuity through the seed of David. Actually, it goes all the way back to the seed of Abraham. But this promise of David is made good through one of his descendants, and that descendant is Jesus. born in the city of David. And so that all that is happening, that the angels are announcing, is happening in continuity with what God has been doing with his people all along, and in continuity with and in view of the promises that God has made to his people all along. And in Jesus, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, I think it is, all of God's promises are yes. And here's an example of that. In the city of David, loaded phrase, things are happening with historical continuity. The Old Testament matters. Most importantly, in the angel's announcement, is the who. It's the picture on the billboard. It's the name spoken in grand and enthusiastic tones by the announcer. And now, direct from heaven, it gives me great pleasure to present to you the amazing, the incomparable Savior. Before, God had been saying to his people, help is on the way, and people of faith believed. Now God's messengers were announcing, help is here. The one who will rescue God's people has arrived. He's going to do this in a strange and unexpected way, and the surprise will be reflected in his manner of birth, and it is seen in the context of this announcement. Angels, God's special messengers, appearing in the middle of nowhere. Not at the Rockefeller Center. Not at the temple steps. But out in the fields, to a bunch of nobodies, outcasts of society, folks who are economically challenged and socially ostracized, the shepherds, dirty shepherds. And here are the angels announcing it to them, and they would remember, and they would tell, and the story would come down to us 2,000 years later. Savior, he is Christ. The word Christ is simply the Greek way of saying Messiah. The Messiah literally is the anointed one of God. He is the one God's people have been waiting for, the one who is going to put things right for his people. He will be the one greatly misjudged and misunderstood because he will be perfectly obedient to his heavenly Father rather than willing to meet human expectations. He's not the kind of Messiah the people wanted, as we see as the gospel story unfolds, but he was the kind of Messiah that God sent. The Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, and the Lord, the angels say. And this is the most loaded word of all in their announcement. Kurios. This word means master or Lord, but it is also the way the name Yahweh, the special name that God gave to his people through Moses at the burning bush. What is your name? My name is Yahweh. I am. And the way that name is translated into Greek is Kurios. And the angels say, that's who's born. The thinly veiled revelation to the shepherds then and to us today is that God himself is being born in Bethlehem. That is quite an announcement. Next, the message includes an invitation to check things out. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. God's messengers invite the shepherds to participate in this. Invite them to check it out. You want to believe what I'm saying? You want to believe that this is true? Go to Bethlehem and you're going to find a baby in a manger. Kind of a strange place for a baby to be, wrapped in swaddling clothes. And finally, the message gives way to another basic of angelic behavior, which becomes the last part of the announcement. Angels appear, they announce, and they applaud. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Perhaps in another year we'll make that connection and just make a whole sermon about that, how peace on earth and glory to God are connected. Fail to glorify God as a people, as a nation, as a planet, and I promise you, you will never have peace. You'll have all kinds of manipulative rhetoric about peace, but no one will deliver on it apart from glory to God. It's the only way it's going to happen. And it will happen. It is happening. The angels applaud in what we call the Song of the Angels. Though it may have been simply words of praise, it just says, join them, and they said together. We just sort of imagine that it was a song, but it may have actually been some form of angelic first century rap. I sure hope not, but it could have been. But they are praising God. They cheer, they praise, they worship. And to whom do they direct this cosmic applause? To God. This is the key activity of the angel and of the angel host, praising God. This is the key activity, as we will see, of Christmas, of the Christmas story. And this is the key activity symbolized and encouraged in our Christmas manger scenes. Glory to God. So what does this mean for us? Well, to quote probably most of your grandmothers, here's the word. Be an angel. Be an angel and go get me a blanket. Be an angel and go get me a cup of coffee. Maybe your grandmother never said that. But I mean it seriously. Be an angel. Applaud God. It's what we're here to do. Find ways of bringing praise to God. Clap through word, through action, for God. Then be an announcer. Announce His coming. Good news, great joy for all the people. Jesus has come. What the angels said, we can say. And finally, listen. Appear. You go, yeah? What's the appear? Sure, wherever we are, we appear. Well, maybe, maybe not. Somebody needs you to appear for them. Family members, a new acquaintance, a young person in need of somebody to pay attention to them, give them some time and care about what they're doing. Appear for our youth and our children here at Covenant. Appear at Sunday school. Appear at youth group. Appear as a mentor. Appear as a discipling partner. Appear as a teacher. Appear as somebody who just pays attention and cares and knows people's names, little kids' names. Community agencies, all kinds of them, are looking for people to appear. School volunteers, appear in the lives of people and love on them. I believe this is becoming an increasing problem in our culture. With the technological explosion, there's a price to pay that most of us are totally blind to, and I'm mostly blind to. But it seems to me that we're finding so many ways not to appear. The social networking pandemic, people sharing information like never before, with thousands of, quote, friends, while real people sit in the next room watching TV and playing Xbox. Real people are everywhere, and nobody is appearing anywhere. Children in greater numbers than ever are growing up without knowing or expecting anybody to appear meaningfully or permanently in their lives. Dads are selfish. Moms are busy. Partners come and go. Now appearing in my life, nobody but me. Churches now are using remote technology so you can hear the blockbuster preacher who is not there. While you sit around table sipping your coffee and watching other people worship God. You can go to church without ever appearing there. Appearing. It's something for special people to do. But there is nobody more special than you and me doing what God has called us to do. For our children, for our families, for our friends, for our neighbors, for God's world. Be an angel. It's time to appear in people's lives because right now is a potentially special time and we have an always special purpose. Now appearing with your family, you. Now appearing in Reno with a heart full of love, a clear call from God, and extra special empowerment from Him, you. Now appearing with an angelic purpose for being there, to share the good news and to escort people into the kingdom of the one born to save, the one born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the one who is the Messiah, the Lord God. We can say what the angel said. Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For one day was born for you in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word and its nourishment. We thank you for this season and the love and the joy that comes with it for us. Lord, help us to accept also the challenge as your people that this is a season that comes around once a year when we have more opportunity than any other time culturally to share about you. The real meaning of Christmas, where it came from, why all the decorations, why the gifts? Why the trees? Why the lights? Why the special programs? Lord, we know you. Help us to share you with others. Help us to seize the opportunity and be angels for others. And we pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake.